Y'all pray. I got one. Man, I've had my arthritis has really been giving me a hard time. And it's in my neck, and it gives me one of them headaches you get when it goes up behind your ear and you feel like you're going to puke. I've been feeling like that all day. So if y'all can pray for that, feel, oh, man, it's a bad feeling. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. This is Daniel praying. And he said, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renowned, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousnesses, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city, thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Heavenly Father, I ask for your wisdom, your presence, awareness of your presence tonight. As prayed already, speak to our hearts, Lord. Use your word. Clean us. Lord, encourage us. Lord, forgive us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I have here in the book of Daniel, it's a pattern for prayer. The key verse is verse 19. And he said, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do not and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Of course, Daniel's not living in his own land. He was taken captive during the Babylonian captivity. But by the providence of God, he had been raised to a high position in the country in which he dwelt. He was a Jew. He hadn't forgotten the fact that he was a Jew. He hadn't forgotten his countrymen, even though he was living pretty well. We see that in the prayer that he prayed. And I read that for a reason, that much praying, we see that he hadn't forgot about his people. He hadn't forgot about his God. He hadn't forgot about his nation, and he prayed for him. Daniel was a spiritual man. There's nothing negative recorded about Daniel. He's one of the few people in the Bible that's true of. Nothing negative about that in the Word of God. When we look at the prayer that he had, it ought to encourage us to pray. We're God's people as well. We represent his church. We are his church. We ought to be praying for that. We ought to pray for the expansion of the kingdom of God. We ought to pray to glorify God, which is one of the things that he prayed for. So I think this prayer will help us. We're going to look at that tonight. Just kind of a model of prayer. Really only have 2 points, although they're kind of long. The very first thing we see, a model prayer. Very first thing that we see that Daniel did, I notice in verse 4, I believe it'll show up there. He said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So it said he set his face to seek by prayer. You know, one of the things that Daniel did was he prepared to pray. Now, that's something, do you ever think about that, just to prepare to pray? I mean, a lot of times I don't know that we actually do that. We just think, well, it's time to pray. But to get ourselves in the right frame of mind, to prepare to pray, to really worship God, and even to look to the Word of God. I mean, I try to do that. I try to get myself in the right frame of mind. It's hard to fuss with the kids and fuss with your spouse and kick the dog and then say, well, let's pray, you know. Sit down and get real spiritual, get in a place of prayer. Whatever you have to do, we'll see how he prepared for that. I think that we need to prepare our minds, our hearts sometimes just to do that. Sometimes we pray with no forethought whatsoever. You know, I get ready to preach. I was thinking about, I can't read my writing half the time anyway. Right now with Danielle and Brian living with us, I had to move my office into the bedroom. I got my table and everything in there, and Damien's sleeping in my, in the office. It was a spare bedroom. He's sleeping in there. So the other morning, man, we had so many things that Regina had called to see if I could come preach a funeral for a baby. And man, now all of a sudden I'm behind, you know, because it's Friday. I got to get ready for Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now I got to get a funeral ready. And then Dennis called and he said, well, I'm going to come. We had a deck. We're building another deck on the back of the house. And the guy said, well, I'm going to come over there Friday and Saturday. I said, oh, my gosh. So I'm running around. I'm behind, you know. And so I got up real early on Saturday morning. And he was going to come, he said, like 8:30, which that means 9 o'clock with him. But he said he's coming. And so I got up early and I needed to use my office. And so Sherry's in the bed still, and I had the blinds all drawn. So I got a flashlight. I had to, the computer wasn't giving me enough light. I could see it, but I couldn't see my paper all that good. So I had a flashlight laying on the table over here so it'd kind of shine, because I didn't want to get the lights on, wake her up. So my handwriting's even worse than usual. I'm writing, hoping I'm spelling out what I can see. But I have to prepare to preach. You know, I just can't. I'm not saying, you know, if somebody said, hey, spur the moment, hey, I want you to preach on this, I could probably come up with something. I could do a wedding without preparing a whole lot. I can do a funeral without preparing a whole lot, really. I don't know if it'd be any good, but I can do it without preparation. But, I mean, to preach to you guys week in, week out, I mean, I can't preach number one this week, number two next week, and go back to number one the next. You know, I have to have something new. So every preacher, you know, you have to prepare. If you're teaching, you have to prepare to teach your class. You have to study, and you know, you have to dig. And, boy, there's a lot. We had a big old discussion in our Sunday school class over here about paradise and heaven and what. And I don't even know. We probably confused ourselves more than we were before we got to talking about it. But there's some neat stuff that, you know, you can study the Word of God. And that's a good thing there. So you need to, and here we are. We're going to prepare to preach, and we're going to speak to men. And teachers are going to prepare to teach, and they're going to speak to men. But now we're going to pray, and we're going to speak to God. I believe we ought to prepare for that as well. I mean, that's something that you have to prepare. So we have to have our heart prepared. We have to have our mind prepared. Well, you think about, how did Daniel prepare? How do you think Daniel prepared? Well, now he didn't have the Bible like we do, the canonized. What canonized means, complete, the Word of God altogether. We got it. Boy, what a blessing right here. You're talking about blessings, man. This is one. We got the complete Word of God. We don't have a little bits and pieces and all that. Might be a few pages missing out of this one, but I don't think it is, but it's getting that way. We have it. Daniel had some of the old, he had some old manuscript, or an old manuscript of Jeremiah. He had that. And, you know, he had, and that was the Word of God as well. And, you know, he read that. And the reason we know that is because he knew a bunch of history about Israel that he wouldn't have known if he hadn't had it. And he talked about that. And so, you know what, we have an advantage there, but he read and studied the Word of God, what he had, and of course he prayed to God. And we can read and study, and you know, and one of the things that we do when we pray, we can plead the promises of God that we have in the Bible. There's certain things we say, God, that, you know, we have this promise from you. You know, you can say, Lord, I mean, you know, you might feel like God's a long way off, but you can plead the promise that God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, and you can talk to God about that. And so that's what he did. And so when our prayers spring from the Scriptures, there that we've studied, you know, then we are qualified to pray. This gets us on praying ground when we know what the Word of God said. Daniel's prayer, he was acquainted with the history of Israel. He talked about them, God bringing them out of Egypt, and he talked about that. And so he knew something about Israel's history when he prayed. You know, we ought to know something about church history when we pray. We got some things we can lean on, and we ought to know something about our church's history as well. You know, there's people that come to this church, been coming here for years, they got no idea how nothing gets done. They couldn't name one missionary that we support if their life depended on it. They don't know, you know, how many missionaries we support, what their names are. They don't know who mows the grass, who cleans the commode. They don't know anything about their church. How are you going to pray for a church like that if you don't know anything what to pray for? They don't know who the teachers are. They don't know anything. I mean, that they should know about their church. We ought to know church history, you know, how revivals took place and how they went on. I mean, they all involve prayer. We ought to know about that and know that God's still on the throne and those things are not done. And so we ought to know about the church's battles, the church's victories, the moving of God in church history, the moving of God in our own church history. We ought to know about that. It's a good thing to know. Be acquainted with it. He knew that. And he talked about it as he prayed to God about that. And it helps us to know how to pray. And then another way that Daniel prepared to pray was is he had humility. The Bible says, and the Oriental custom was that they would get in sackcloth and ashes. Now, sackcloth is just an old, you know what a sack's like. I don't know that you'd want to have a pair of drawers made out of a sack, them old burlap bags. But that's why they did that. They wore sackcloth. It was a rough garment. It wasn't comfortable. They made themselves uncomfortable on purpose. They sat in ashes, which is just down in the dust. They got down in the dust. And I don't know about you. I don't like, man, dust on my hands. That drives me nuts, man. I don't like to feel like, you know, have that on my hands. It's like grinding your fingernails on a chalkboard, man. And but that was a outward show of an inward, feeling or inward reality. They would sit down there and just symbol of an inward condition, humility before God, you know, trying to, you know, feel grief and pain. And, that's somebody that's praying from the depths of their soul. That's a deeper prayer than, you know, what we pray a lot of time. I mean, he really had a burden for his people, his nation. And not only that, listen, he had a burden for the glory of God. Don't make no mistake about it. I'll get to that in a minute. But he had a burden for God's glory because he mentioned it several times. Even in the last little verse, the key verse, he said, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And there was another place or two in there, and I didn't mark it down. But he was talking about, the glory of God, God's glory. So, I mean, that was an important thing to him. He had a zeal for God. He had the right motive when he prayed. And a lot of times, perhaps we don't always have the right motive when we pray. And I just kind of gave it away. What is the right motive when we pray? Well, the right motive is really the glory of God. Sometimes we pray for the church to grow. Sometimes we pray for church growth because we want to have a big church so we can say, hey, look at our church. We got a big church. And instead of saying, hey, I want to pray for church growth because that means people are getting saved and God's going to be getting glorified. That ought to be our motive. Sometimes our mind doesn't think that way. I got a little paper up here somewhere. What happened to that? Did you swipe it, Paul? Oh, it's over there. Bring it up here. I read this thing to Paul and somebody else was standing there after we prayed today. And later on tonight when I was looking over my notes, I thought, oh, this will go good right here in this part of the sermon. Pastor Frink, the pastor that was here before me, he's going to be here on July the 3rd. That's day before the 4th of July. It's Wednesday night, and he's just going to come in. He's going to do a little singing for us and that. And I want to encourage you to come out to that. I know a lot of people get sideways around the holidays, but July the 4th, a Wednesday night, come on down, and Pastor Frink's going to come in. He likes to sing a lot, and if you know some people, you see anybody that used to go here, let people know. Stanley, y'all, if you see folks, anybody, you know, let them know about Pastor Frank coming. He's a good fella. Encouraged me a lot. Had me ordained. But anyway, he's going to be coming in. He sent me a letter. And then just telling us, reminding us about the date. And then he said, I found this in my searchings and thought it was so very good for us to know. I don't know who wrote it, but anyway, he sent it to me. And it said, the topic is God's glory. And this is what it says. God's glory. Moses asked to see it on Mount Sinai. It followed through the temple, leaving the priest too stunned to minister. When Ezekiel saw it, he bowed. It encircled the angels and starstruck the shepherds in the Bethlehem pasture. Jesus radiates it. John beheld it. Peter witnessed it on Transfiguration Hill. Christ will return enthroned in it. Heaven will be illuminated by it. It gulf streams the Atlantic of Scripture, touching every person with the potential of change, changing every life, including yours. One glimpse, one taste, one sampling, and your faith will never be the same. Glory, God's glory. To seek God's glory is to pray. Thicken the air with your presence. Make it misty with your majesty. Part heaven's drape and let your nature spill forth. God, show us God. What the word Alps does for the mountains of Europe, glory does for God's nature. Alps encompasses a host of beauties, creeks, peaks, falling leaves, running elk. To ask to see the Alps is to ask to see it all. To ask to see God's glory is to ask to see all of God. God's glory carries the full weight of His attributes, His love, His character, His strength, and on and on. The Hebrew term for glory descends from a root word meaning heavy, weight, or important. God's glory then celebrates His significance, His uniqueness, His one-of-a-kindness. As Moses prayed, "Who among the gods is like You, O Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" And that's Exodus 15:11. When you think God's glory, think preeminence. And when you think preeminence, think priority. For God's glory is God's priority. God's staff meetings, if He had them, would revolve around one question. How can we reveal My glory today? God's to-do list consists of one item. Reveal My glory. Heaven's framed and mounted purpose statement hangs in the angel's break room just above the angel food cake. It reads, "Declare God's glory." I thought that's pretty good. Little, I don't know where it doesn't say who wrote it, but Pastor Frank sent that to us. That was a good illustration right there of God's glory. That's the purpose. That's really what he prayed about. What he wanted more than anything, because he knew that if Israel was bringing a reproach, it was bringing a reproach upon God, because they were God's people. And so it's the same with us today. Now we're God's people. Here we are, the church. And so to pray with the right motive, to pray correctly, is not for our glory, but it's to pray for God's glory, that He would be magnified, that sinners would be saved, which, by the way, magnifies God's glory. Now you look at what Daniel requested. Think about this. Daniel's request, he said, "O Lord, hear," verse 19, he said, "Hear, forgive, hearken, and do, defer not," were the things that he requested for. So, and he said, oh, Lord," you know, sometimes we get repetitive in our prayer life, and it's just a filling in thing, you know, "Oh Lord," or "Father," or "God," or "Jesus," you know, it's a repetitive thing. But in Daniel's case, I believe it was a pouring out of his soul, a fervent prayer. He was knocking on God's door. And, you know, this is something that, he poured his soul out, and he was, "Oh God," you know, he prayed to God, "This is what I want You to do," you know. And so, he understands some things. You know, his model, you know, he asked for an audience with God. He said, "Oh Lord, hear." This is it. He came into the, you can't come if you wanted to talk to the president or a king of a country, you know, you have to request an audience to see. And they either let you in or they won't. And so with God, he said, "Oh Lord, hear." He gets right to the point with his request. He said, "Oh Lord," he said, "forgive." I mean, he already knew. He didn't beat around the bush. He knew what the problem was. You know, one of the things when you pray, like I tell people, you know, if you know what you want, ask God about that. You know, if you know what your problems are, And if you know what your need is, you know, where you're at. I mean, you think about that. You know, ask God. Daniel knew this one thing. He said, "I know that sin's the problem. That's why we're in this mess that we're in." He said, "Sin's a problem." And he knows what he's praying for. And he asked God for those things right there. And he presses the point. He said, "Oh Lord, hearken and do." In other words, hear and do. Hear my prayer and do something there. You know, he still knew that they were God's people. He still knew that. And, of course, there was a lot of needs there. Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. That was a good one. The people were captive and not in their land. They needed redemption from that point of view. And so he knew what he wanted. He asked God for what the problem was. And then he prayed also from a position of nearness. I like the fact that he said, my God. He used that phrase. He said, my God, Lord. And sometimes I think when people pray, they pray like, God's way off somewhere else. There's a distance felt there. But he prayed from the position of God's throne room. He says, hear me, O my God. I like that because that's a personal relationship with God. You know, a lot of people have struggle there. They don't say, my God. And he gives God even a reason that he should answer the prayer. He didn't say answer the prayer for my sake. He said answer the prayer for thine own sake. Answer the prayer for your sake, for the glory of God. Listen, we always look at it from the selfish or self-centered side a lot of times. Lord, here's my request because I need this and it's going to be good for me. And if God delivers you from sin, it is good for you. But it's not the biggest thing. The biggest thing is it gives God the glory. That's what he saw. He said, listen, forgive us our sins and redeem your people for your sake. He said, because you're going to get the glory for that right there. I mean, that's the whole objective, the whole main thing of what we should be doing. And so he gave God that reason right there. I said, even though they had sinned, he pointed this out, even though they had sinned, they were still his people. And that they had a different relationship with him than any other people of the nations around about them. They had a different relationship. And he brought that, not that God needs, God knows it, but when Daniel prayed it, God knows that he knew that was true. Called by thy name. So, we see a model for Daniel's prayer. What he did, he prepared himself. He got his mind right. He looked at the scriptures. He called on, he claimed the promises of God. He knew the main purpose for it all was God's glory. That was the main thing. There's some things that are beneficial to the people. There's beneficial things to our prayer life. When we pray, listen, we get delivered from sin. It's always going to be good for you. Get you out of sin is always going to be good for you. It's going to benefit you. But he knew that really the biggest purpose was that it was going to glorify God. When we're walking in victory and we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can witness to the world, God's going to get the glory for that when people see that. If they see a bunch of defeated Christians, God doesn't change the fact that we're God's children, but God doesn't get glory for that. So we see the model prayer, and then we see the second thing, an encouragement to pray. It's always an encouragement to do the thing that you see the best men do. Whatever it is. When the advertising, who do they usually use to advertise? You ever notice nobody's knocking on your door to get you to come and advertise some product for them? Because, we're just not famous people, right? Who do they, they get somebody that's famous, somebody like you'll look up and you're a kid. Well, listen, if such and such a football star or such and such a TV personality or such some actor or actress somewhere, if they use this product, wow, if I use it too, then I'm going to be a football player, a TV star, or model, or an actor. That's just the psychology of it. Whatever you see the best men do, that's something there. So, when you look at the great men of the Bible, they were all praying men. I mean, the people that did anything for God, they were praying people, man. I mean, they got down there and they did some prayer. If we're going to do anything for God, it's not going to be any different. We're going to have to do the same thing. And so when the Lord told the disciples to wait at Jerusalem. Remember, the Lord told the disciples to wait at Jerusalem. He was going to send the Holy Spirit for the day of Pentecost. What did they do? Peter and John could have said, all right, it was about a 10-day span, I think they had to wait. Peter and John were fishermen by trade. They could have said, all right, well, let's just go fishing. We'll kill some time off. We'll go fishing and whatever else the other people had. They had jobs. I'm support yourself somehow. They could have gone ahead to their day jobs and did that. But that's not what happened. What happened was they had a prayer meeting. They were 10 days. They were praying, God's will. They didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, they knew the Comforter. They didn't know what that was. I mean, for sure, Jesus almost sent a Comforter. That's it. They didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, how it was. But they went and prayed. And they had a prayer meeting. And, of course, the Holy Spirit came, day of Pentecost. It was a great day. Remember, Peter was in prison. When Peter was in prison, he was pretty calm, apparently. He done fell asleep. They were probably going to be put to death the next day by Herod. Herod was so worried about him escaping, he put 16 soldiers on him to guard him. And, of course, what did the disciples do? They had a prayer meeting. It was night. It was nighttime. I don't know how many they had. I imagine the whole church was there. Good thing none of us are locked up. We don't have the whole church here praying for us. But it was nighttime. He was in prayer. Of course, you know what happened. Angel came, had to smoke Peter on the side, wake him up. He's calm as a cucumber, sleeping in bed. And Peter got out. You know, of course, he went to the place where they prayed, knocked on the door, they let him in. Let's see, what moved God there? You know, what really moved God? It was prayer. It was a prayer that moved God. You know, God answered that prayer. They were praying that Peter would get out. I believe because of the incidents that happened back at the house, I don't even believe they really believed that God was going to, that he was going to get out. But they were praying, and I don't believe they were telling God what to do. And so, you know, when you think about Daniel, I didn't read this far, but look down in verse 20 and verse 21. What happened to Daniel when he prayed? He said, "Whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people," notice how Daniel didn't kind of blow off his sins and just say the rest of the people were sinning. He said, "My sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel," who of course we know that to be an angel, "whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." And then he said, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." So, and he went on to say, this is good too. I think I was talking about this. It's not what I was thinking about. But anyway, he had an angel came down there and touched him about the time of the evening oblation, it says. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Angel from God sent down there and touched him there and on there. I mean, something happened when he prayed. And so that was a pretty quick answer to a prayer right there as well. And so, you know, Daniel prayed for a hard case. We were talking about this on Wednesday night. Sometimes we try to help God along by not asking too hard of a, we don't pray for too hard of an event or too hard of a thing, because we think if we pray for something easy, there's a possibility that the prayer will get answered. And if we pray for something hard, it might not get answered at all. So sometimes we try to help God by not praying that way. We were talking about that on Wednesday night. But he had a hard case. Jerusalem was in ruins. Jerusalem was in ruins. Jews were scattered all over the place. They were captive. He's praying for that redemption there. Sin was in excess, not unlike today. So this is what he prayed about. Just one guy, just one man, this man Daniel, he was praying. But you know what? He prayed to God. And the Bible says that God heard his prayer and God answered his prayer. Only one man. Just think if we got everybody in the church, just even in this small group like this that prayed like Daniel prayed, just think if we prayed with one accord, like I said this morning, we're all on the same page, we prayed, think what God could do. I mean, our motive would have to be correct. You know, we'd have to be prepared to pray. We'd have to desire God's glory. I mean, it wouldn't be just because we, you know, gave you a scripted prayer and we all prayed the same thing at the same time. It all had to be in our hearts. It all had to be there. Just think what would happen. I mean, man, listen. Daniel prayed. Listen, it was a private prayer, even though it's recorded in the Word of God. He wasn't praying in a church setting. It was a private prayer. Nobody was listening but God. Nobody was around but God. You know, think about our prayer life, you know, when we get down. And I really think that, you know, you're probably prone to be more honest with God and pray about things that you might not pray in public, in a public prayer setting. This is when you get down to business with God and there. So think about that. What about your private prayers? What about your family prayer time? This question was asked by somebody. He said, have you built an altar before you built your tent? Have you built an altar before you built a tent? In other words, have you put God and worshiping God and praying to God before every other thing in your life? You know, everything before that. But they would go, a lot of times when you follow some of the great men of the Bible, when they would go somewhere and settle, and when the Israelites moved, they set the tabernacle up before they set anything else up. They set their altar up before they built their own tent, their own place that they stayed. They set that up right there. You know, a lot of times we ask little and we get little. And I notice this, and I'm trying to get us on Wednesday night, and I still see this hasn't been very effective, but I want to try to help you. We have got to move past the physical. We have got to get over that. It's starting to get like this on Wednesday night again. Once we get done naming everybody that's sick and in the hospital, which it's a lengthy list, I understand it is. And then I say, what else anybody got to pray about? Cricket sound. Brian asked a question this morning. He said, hey, somebody tell me, went to everybody, somebody tell me how God blessed you this week. Every single person but one had named a physical blessing. You know, I got my health, which, I mean, that's good. It's good to have. You got health, this, that, and all had like to do that. Nobody, until it got to one person, had thanked him for grace. But we don't think it in a spiritual sense. You know, we're not thinking that way. Our prayer and our prayer requests, man, we're praying for sick people. Great. But we, once again, we're stopping there. And it's nothing like, you know, Lord, you know, I just need to pray, God, that I can love you like you love me. And I need to pray that I have a burden for souls. And I need you, Lord, to help me. I don't love you like I should. I don't have a burden like I should. I don't have a desire to serve you like I could. I'm struggling reading my Bible. I'm struggling praying. I mean, hey, you know, be honest with God. Well, I don't want to say that in front of the church. Pride. Now, so then pray about that. I got a problem with pride. I can't confess anything before my own brothers and sisters. Doesn't the Bible say confess your faults one to another or one before another? Doesn't it say to do that? I mean, you know, hey, it's not going to be anything along those lines. It's not going to be anything nobody else in here is struggling with to start with. Maybe that would kind of break the ice, to get us to do that. And so, I mean, listen, we need to ask God, listen, how about praying? How about this one? God, how about just magnifying yourself through this church right here? I mean, that would be a good prayer. I mean, we can get over, after we get through the hospitals and the limping and the lame and the blind, we can go ahead and then we start playing, God, how about magnifying yourself through this? You know, I think we got to ask for it if God's going to do it right. We can't just not ask God for it. That's just the way Daniel prayed. Matter of fact, I don't see in all that lengthy prayer, I don't think he prayed for one person that had a physical calamity. He prayed for the sins of the people. He prayed for a scattered people. He prayed for those likes right there. Man, we need to ask God to magnify himself. That people that would around here would know that there's a God in heaven. That God would give us a burden that he has. That God would give us a love for the lost. That God would use us to win those people to himself. That he would give us courage. That he would give us boldness. Man, we just got to get on a spiritual plane. Listen, there's a lot of blessings besides just having physical things met. There's just the blessings of, boy, knowing that you're saved, that you got a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. It's a blessing to know that God loves you. It's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit as a possession in your soul. It's a blessing to have the Word of God that we can read and encourage one another. It's a blessing that God would use you to go out and win somebody to Christ, to tell somebody about Jesus. Man, that's a blessing beyond all blessings. It's a blessing to have your family saved. It's a blessing to have your family in church. It's just a blessing, man. I mean, we got some spiritual blessings that we could be thanking God for, but we don't always think on a spiritual plane. You know, we think on the physical so much, and we just got to move past it. And we're just not going to have any power in prayer, and we're not going to see God do any great and mighty things that he could do if we just don't start asking God for that. Daniel made an intercession there for the nation of Israel, the other people. And we got, man, listen, we need to make intercessions for them too. I mean, we need to make some intercession for people that are out of church, people that are indifferent towards the things of God, people that are just cold. People need to grow. Everybody's at a certain place. We need to pray for spiritual growth for one another. These are the kinds of prayers that would really get some things done. You read the great prayers in the Bible. Apostle Paul has plenty in the New Testament. You read some of his prayers. I mean, here was Apostle Paul. Listen, he had some physical ailments. He had some physical problems. But boy, when he never talked about it. It only mentions the fact that he asked God about it one time. Or he asked him three times. And the Lord said, listen, my grace is sufficient for thee. But after that, he didn't mention it. When he prayed, he never mentioned it. He didn't mention any physical things. He just talked about spiritual things. He was a great prayer. Here's Daniel. He prayed the same way. Look at the great prayers in the Bible and see what people prayed for. The ones that move God. The ones that really move God. We see some people that came to Jesus. All the people, listen, all the people just about that were lost, what'd they come to Jesus for? A physical need. Okay, but put the correlation there. They're not spiritual people. They're lost yet. And Jesus healed them, but he saved them. He talked to them about their sin, and he saved them. And now you move past that. You move past that. We should grow, and we should be way past that. And that's the model that we see in the Bible. So just take that. Hope that'll help you in your prayer life just a little bit. Paul, you come on. We'll have an invitation. And, you know, think about it. Just get deeper, you know. Be in the Word of God. And I'm like I say over and over and over again. Every time sometimes I think I'm telling everybody stuff plain enough, and then I find out people thinks I said this or thinks I mean that and I'll say, well, I don't know why they think I mean that. Listen, I'm not telling you not to pray for people that have needs. Patty Campbell, we need to pray for Patty. Patty's in the hospital. We went to see her. She's got something. They don't know what it is, running a fever. She don't need that. That's a good thing we prayed for. I'm not telling you not to pray for sick people. I'm saying just don't stop there. You know, we can't be that top heavy on one thing, on one other thing. We need to think about the spiritual things that we need to be praying about, and think about glorifying God. Think about glorifying. Listen, Paul glorified God, and he didn't have his physical problem fixed. He still glorified God in the body that God gave him, whatever that problem was.